A suggestion? What kind you want to do? Who has a birthday? Who has a birthday? This is March. Who has a birthday in March? No? Anniversary in March? No. Okay. Who's dressed in orange? Orange. Come on, ladies. Orange. That just came right out of my mouth. I'm sorry. Who's dressed in orange? That must have been the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That just flew out of my mouth. That wasn't premeditated. Okay. So I normally don't know what we're going to do for activation. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will give it to me the day before or when I'm in prayer, but sometimes he doesn't do it until I get here. So are they wonderful? Yeah. Wonderful servants of the Lord. Yeah. Okay. So you let me know if you can do this. So I'm going to have you give a word to somebody in the congregation. Can we do it? Yeah. If you, okay, you'll try? Okay. So she's going to try. Have you ever done it before? No. So we're going to give her grace and we're going to watch and see what the Lord does through her. Okay. All right. So if you have green on, I want you to stand. Color green. Oh, okay. Because it's St. Patrick's month. Yeah. And I'm Irish. Okay. So green. Okay. Who's got yellow on? Anybody with yellow? Yellow? Yellow shirt? Yellow socks? Yellow tie. Okay. Let's see. Who has on red? Yeah. Stand. Okay. Perfect. Okay. So these are the candidates. And so we're going to seek the Lord and I'm going to let them, I'm going to minister alongside of you too, because I have a word. So we're going to minister to those that are in green and those that are in red. So we're going to pray for a few minutes first. So stretch your hands toward them. Yes. And let's just pray in the Spirit. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the gift of prophecy, Lord. Father, I thank you, God, that Father, the impartation, Lord, of revelation, Father God, to flow through my sisters, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you, God, that iron sharpens iron, Father. I thank you, God, that you're faithful and that you're true, Father. And I just praise you and thank you, God, for what you're about ready to do, Lord, with this activation, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, if you're ready, are you ready? Okay.
So, sister, right here, what is your name? Melinda. Okay. So, Melinda, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is telling me what used to be fear for you. You used to deal with a lot of fear and anxiety, that you have fear no more. The Lord has replaced that fear with wonder. And so, the Lord wants you to be so excited for this new playground that he's allowing you to run in, because it's full of his wonder. And he wants you to have a hunger and a voraciousness about discovery, discovering more and more of him, discovering more and more of his presence, because he has so much for you. He wants you to know that.
Are you ready? No. Want to wait? Yeah. Want to work with me? Okay. So, Debbie, this is the year of the sovereign Lord for you. And so God says this is your year. This is his year working in and through you. So in the past, it's been one way, but God says you're stepping into something new right now. So it's a new year for you. It's a new, like a suddenly, it's going to begin to happen in your life. Something that you've been waiting for a long time. And God is going to all of a sudden bring that right to the forefront for you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Any
Hallelujah. Vicky. I hear in my spirit that this is a time of thanksgiving for you. The sentence, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank the Lord for saving me. And so the Lord has given you a heart of thanksgiving, a heart for all that he's brought you through. At one time, you felt overwhelmed by your experience, but now you're in a time of, oh, I thank you, Jesus, for bringing me through so much, and that you're using that which I've walked through now as a foundation of wisdom, a foundation of power, a foundation of faith. And so he wants you to continue to just release that heart of thanksgiving to him, to thank him for all that he's brought you through.
When I first stood here, my attention was drawn to you. And I just hear the word praise. Just praise.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Wonderful. Anna, I'm going to give you a word too. So, yes. So, Father, I thank you for Anna. And I thank you, Lord, for stability. I hear the Lord saying that stability has come into your life. There's been a lot of crooked places, and God is making those places straight for you. But I hear the word stability, like a strong foundation is coming into your life. A little wobbly, but the strong foundation is coming and stability is coming. Your eyes are fixed and your eyes are focused. And God wants you to know that he's pleased with your mouth. So he's pleased with the words that you're saying out of your mouth. He honors that. You've been doing some behind the scenes stuff, and the Lord says he's pleased with that, and to keep speaking on his behalf, because there's a whole harvest of souls that are going to come into the kingdom through you. And so he's bringing stability and he's bringing strength to you, a stableness in your life. There's not like it was in the past. There's going to be you're going to be like a pillar in the church. So God's going to raise you up to be that strong pillar. Then when you walk through the door, they're going to say, oh, Anna's here. Yeah, yeah. And that's what it's going to be like. People are going to rejoice. Yes, yes. All right, ladies, are we good? Anybody else standing? Oh, we got one more.
Price, the Lord says your mouth is a trumpet. And he wants you to use it in the way in which someone would use a trumpet. To cry loud, but cry loud and spare not. Do not be sparing in how often you use that beautiful trumpet that God has given you, your voice, because God has made you an oracle. So blow it loud, blow it strong, blow it often. The Lord wants you to begin to trumpet your voice, because he's placed wisdom within inside of you, and we all need it.
Okay, wasn't that awesome? Give these ladies a hand. All right, so now we're going to do one more demonstration. Don't go anywhere. So we're going to do another demonstration. So, and I need for you to help me. So there's a powerful anointing on your life to prophesy and to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's no coincidence that God has brought you here. You're not even part of our fellowship, but God brings you here. And there's a call on your life. So I'm going to have Veronica, she could lay her hand on your belly, and we want to impart to you the gift of prophecy that we have. Okay, can we do that? Yeah, I want you to stretch your hands toward my sister. Yeah. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for such a time as this, Lord. We thank you, God, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, Lord, that you don't take them away, Father. But, Lord, it's been dormant for a season, God, but there's been a hunger on the inside of my sister, Lord. So, Father, we impart to her, Lord, the very giftings that we have in the area of prophecy, Lord, and we just impart this to her right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, God, that out of her mouth shall flow rivers of living water. Out of her mouth shall flow life-giving, changing words, Father. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, God. Father, I thank you, God, for exhortation and comfort flowing from this woman, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and praise you, God, for this is her day. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Veronica,
Yes, Lord. We declare that that river flows through her now in Jesus' name. It flows freely in the name of Jesus. And we declare that the fire of God's Spirit, oh God, we stir it up. We stir it up in the name of Jesus, and it comes forth with power. It comes forth with frequency. It comes forth, Lord God, with discernment. In the name of Jesus, use her for your glory, Lord. Amen.
All right. Give her a hand.
All right. Okay, so I just want to just kind of recap just a little bit of where we've been with this book. We've been in this book over a year now. Can you believe that? And so we're probably not going to finish this book until sometime in February. And I say that we're on lesson 9 right now, but as we get a little bit deeper, we're going to really examine the heart of the prophet and the heart of the ministry. And so lessons 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and it's actually like, I think like 15 chapters, a couple of the chapters are merged together, but some of them are really lengthy. And so I'll be dividing them up and asking some to help me teach some of these chapters that are as we go along for the remainder of the year. But remember, when we first started this book, we talked about the importance of the prophetic, understanding the prophetic movement and why we're in this movement. And I believe that this book was written back in the 80s, but I believe for such a time as this that we're beginning to live in that time right now. And then we talked about the nature of a restoration movement, why God restores truce to the body of Christ. We talked a little bit about the brief history of church, the church reformation. That's so important because God is, again, history is shifting, and there's coming a great powerful reformation in the nation that we're living in right now. We talked a little bit about the charismatic movement compared to the prophetic movement, and they correlate, but they're different at the same time. And we talked about the 7 principles of restoration. That was in lesson 7. And I would encourage you to go back in your study with this book and go back there. And then we talked about last month, we talked about the cry for balance and structure. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the making of the prophet, actually, the spirit of true prophets, and how a prophet should really move and act and conduct themselves in the body of Christ. So how many know that you'll know them by the fruits of the Spirit? Yeah. Have you ever ran into a prophet that's hard and you can't talk to the prophet? Have you ever, and this, I guess this kind of, not only in the prophetic ministry, but this could apply to any person in leadership in general, this lesson today, because we should always be approachable. Look at your neighbor and say, I should always be approachable. Yes, yes. So just because you may see one up prophesying or one up teaching doesn't mean that that person's not human and can't talk, right? So have you ever been to a service where, and I've been to several, where they bring in the leadership and the leadership exits out the back door? Have you ever been to a church service like that? And you can't even get near them, right? And so you wonder, what's going on there? How come I can't get near them? So, and maybe there was a season and time for that. I don't know. I'm not going to judge that. But all I know is that a prophet, you'll know them by the fruits of the Spirit. They'll be approachable. They'll be loving. They'll be caring. They'll be generous. They'll be an example of Jesus Christ on the earth today. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's just get right into your book. And I said yours starts on page 61. Did everybody get a copy of the lesson? Everyone's got one? Okay. You can get this book still because we still have quite a ways to go through this book. So you can get this book on Amazon. Yeah. Okay. So the summary of our text today is being a prophet entails much more than speaking a true word or having a miracle ministry. In fact, it is possible for a true prophet to speak an incorrect word, since all human beings are fallible and prone to making mistakes. Many claim that the law of Moses must still be in effect in regard to prophets, and some still say that. And they require prophets to be 100% accurate or else be stoned or blackballed in ministry. However, we see that the other offenses worthy of death in the Old Testament are no longer in force. Jesus, according to the law, should have stoned the woman brought to him in adultery. He should have stoned her. Yet he told her, go and sin no more, right? So how many of you have ever heard prophets, a prophet says something and it should come to pass? Well, I believe a prophet, when it says something, should come to pass. I believe that. But how many know there's grace in the body of Christ and that we're going to miss it sometimes? Like, we're going to say things. And so right now, there's a whole lot of prophets out there that have missed it a lot. Right? And so, some of these ministries, I'm waiting for them to say, I'm sorry, I missed it. right? Because if we miss it, we need to own up to missing it. So if I give you a prophetic word and that prophetic is way off and it's not God, you need to come tell me it's way off and not God so that I can tell you that I'm sorry and I missed it, right? So we create a safe environment in the local church, in this church, to make a mistake and not to make a mistake. Amen? So motivation is an important part of ministry. There's much more to being a true prophet than just words spoken or miracles worked. Even a prophetic minister who is unrighteous or immoral can give an accurate word, yet nevertheless remain in the eyes of God as a false prophet. And we can take a look at Balaam. he gave the only messianic prophecy in the book of Numbers and seemed to have a valid prophetic ministry. But the New Testament refers to him as a false prophet. And in 2 Peter, he says that. And in 2 Peter, he's talking about the false teachers and false prophets. So Peter was talking there. And it says here that they have wandered off the main road and have gone astray because they are prophets who love to profit the wages that they earn by wrongdoing. They follow examples of Balaam. So I used to know a ministry that... and I don't know where this ministry is today, but this was back, must have been back in the, around in the 80s maybe. You could send money into them and then they would send a word back to you. You know, but you had to give them money to send the word back to you. Jesus went into the temple and threw up the table and said, wait a minute, this is a house of prayer, right? So no gift can be bought. Right, and they tried to do that over in the book of Acts, too. They tried to buy the gift. You can't buy the gift. The gift is irrevocable. God gives you the gift, but the gift is not for profit. The gift is to resemble Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelation says that he is the spirit of prophecy, right? Okay. So we have to be careful. So on your next page, we're going to go into body not better than its spirit. So your body is not better than its spirit. Just as every human body has its own personality and spirit, the corporate body of Christ has its own personality and its own spirit, which is the character of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And I just quoted you that scripture in Revelation. It's Revelation 19:10 is the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. So whenever we prophesy like Jesus would prophesy. And I remember one time I was seeking the Lord. And I'm working on a workbook right now. And the Lord told me that every time you prophesy, I dance. I dance and I rejoice every time. Because it's Jesus Christ that's speaking through us. He is the gift of prophecy. He is the spirit of prophecy. So when you get a word from Isabel Allam or any prophet or the words that you received here today, that's Jesus Christ speaking to you and encouraging you and edifying you. He is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. The spirit of wisdom. The specific Holy Spirit motivation that God wants for the company of prophets, and you're going to fill this in, I believe, in your book, is the spirit of wisdom. So the specific Holy Spirit motivation that God wants for the company of prophets is the spirit of wisdom and faith, which worketh by love. And we all know that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. You know, we can have all the sounding symbols that we want. We can prophesy all that we want. But love must come. So your next fill-in is faith which worketh by love. So the specific Holy Spirit motivation that God wants for the company of prophets is the spirit of wisdom. And then faith which works by love. And I would encourage you in your study time to go and read 1 Corinthians 13 in several translations. Because it's beautiful. The Amplified is beautiful. The Passion Translation is beautiful. The Message is beautiful. So I would encourage you to just get yourself immersed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So the spirit of wisdom. I think you got a fill in here too. So number one is revelation. I'm going to pull that scripture up and read it too. Number one is revelation without wisdom becomes radical self-exalting. I'm going to read to you Ephesians 1:16-23 real quick. Yep. So number one, revelation without wisdom becomes radical self-exalting. And I'm going to go to Ephesians 1:16. Let's see. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance are in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age in which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all that fills in him. So, number one, revelation without wisdom becomes radical self-exalting. Joshua had to have the characteristics of wisdom to be worked in his very nature and way of life before Moses laid his hands upon him and imparted the spirit of wisdom to him. And that's in Deuteronomy 34:9. The spirit of wisdom is not an intellectual understanding, but it is, and here's another fill-in in your book. So it is the attributes and characteristics of the spirit of wisdom used in performing its great insights. That's beautiful, isn't it? I'll say it again. Okay, so the spirit of wisdom is not an intellectual understanding. Say that with me. It's not intellectual. No. It's the spirit of wisdom on the inside of you, but it's the attributes and the characteristics of the spirit of wisdom used in performing its great insights. So there's something to do when you're moving in the gift of wisdom. There's something there. The attributes and characteristics of Christ need to be flowing through the prophetic ministry that's giving out the word. So it's the attributes and characteristics of the spirit of wisdom. And it's while it's being used, it's performing the great insights of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So look what it says here in James 3. It says that it's first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. Amen? So wisdom's character and spirit are described here. Describe the spirit attributes of divine wisdom. And we're going to go through them. So number one, the first character is being pure. And the definition of pure is to be free from anything adulterous that taints or impairs, something unmixed and clear, free from sin and guilt, blameless, virgin or chaste. Jesus said, "Blessed is the pure in heart, for they shall see God," Matthew 5:8. Prophets must have purity of heart if they want to see God's power. And so I'm going to just pause here for a second because Pastor Tim had a message on Tuesday about the heart. And so if you have a chance, you can get that CD. But you want to make sure that your heart is right. Your motivation of your heart is right. So usually when I bring people on to the prophetic ministry, I ask them the question, why do you want to prophesy? Right? Why do we want to prophesy? I mean, we are to run after that. But our heart motivation ought to be because we want to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. We want to see the kingdom of God encouraged and exhorted and brought into their rightful place in the kingdom of heaven. And prophets, we play a part in that. So prophets must have a purity in heart if they want to see God's power. It's impossible to present a pure word of the Lord if you're not pure in heart. So our motive and attitude must be right. Amen. So our motive and attitude must be right. We must want to see the kingdom of God lifted up. We are living in the days of Malachi. Pastor Lorraine touched on Malachi 3 this morning. We are living in the days of Malachi 3:3. God is no longer putting up with ministers. He's no longer putting up with crazy ministers, you know. And he's not going to put up with those that use personal immorality or have any kind of filth or anything like that in their life. The Passion Translation in Matthew 5:9, it says, "What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you? For you will inherit the earth." So the blessings of God will flow through you as you and I begin to walk in the gentleness and the peace of God. Amen? All right, so peaceable. And the definition of peaceable is having an undisturbed state of mind, absent of mental conflict, free from war, living in harmony, having a disposition toward peace, not quarrelsome. Jesus also said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." True prophets and prophetic ministers are those who are peacemakers, even among different camps of belief. So you may be a person that goes out and ministers in another church, and that church may have a completely different belief than what you have. But you're there to give the word of the Lord. And you're there to, perhaps you're going to be used in the gift of prophecy there that day. However the Lord uses you, but it might be a different camp that you're involved in. So we don't look at the camp, we look at Jesus. Remember that we see Jesus on every face. So it doesn't matter where he sends us, as long as we keep our focus on Jesus, right? So it could be in a church of God. It could be an assembly. It could be in a Baptist church, Methodist church, wherever the Lord would open the door for you. Their belief system may be different, but you're coming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you go to those camps, you see Jesus. Amen. And when you see Jesus, there's nothing that he can't do through you. Amen. Remember, I had that. The Lord, that was a time the Lord had spoke to me audible right over here. And I was there several years ago. Some of you may know the testimony, but I had been sharing on the culture of honor during those days. It must have been back around 2015 or so. And I was over here, and I was worshiping Jesus, and all of a sudden, I heard an audible voice. And I tell you, I don't hear it often, but I know I heard it in my right ear. And the Lord said to me, "Kimberly, do you see me?" And it was just like that. "Kimberly, do you see me?" And I thought, you know, and then I heard it again. "Kimberly, do you see me?" So I put my flag down, and I turn around. And I thought I was going to literally see Jesus standing there because that's how real it was. It was in the midst of praise and worship. And I turned around and I looked and I didn't see Jesus. I gazed all over the sanctuary and I didn't see him. And so I turned back around and he said, "Did you see me?" And I said, I broke down and I started to cry. I said, "No, Lord, I didn't see you." He said, "Look again." So I turned around and I looked again and he said, "I'm on every face. When you can see this way, there's no limits to what I can do through you." And then I lost it. I just lost my mind, you know. I just started to bawl and cry, you know, and I just thought, wow, Lord, you're teaching me something here, you know. Each one of us are in a stage with the Lord. And so as prophets and ministers of the Lord, whatever camp we go into, doesn't matter color, doesn't matter. Our blood is the same. When you see Jesus on every face, there's no limits to what he can do through you because he didn't see nothing but his Father. He did nothing and said nothing but unless his Father told him to do it. Okay. So the definition of gentleness speaks of all that's entailed in being a gentleman, especially the old concept of the English gentleman. One of the upper classes, one that has good birth, having good qualities, considered appropriate to those of good birth. Refined, polite, noble, a gentle knight, generous, kind, easily handled, tame and gentle, dog. Someone with a spirit of gentleness will not bite you when you touch them. You can trust them around children, and they're not violent or harsh or rude, ill-mannered, or have an attitude in word or action. How many have ever seen prophets that have an attitude? I've seen them. They have attitudes. I've seen those in the prophetic ministry sometimes that had attitudes, you know. They just feel like, some people just feel like they can just prophesy wherever they go. And you can't do that. So I can't go to the church across the street and join in their Sunday service and start prophesying over their people. Look at me and say, you can't do that. They would kick me out of the church, take me out by my ears, you know. Because what happens? There's order in the kingdom. So if there's order in heaven and there's order on the earth and there's order in the church, right? And that's not to shut the prophetic ministry down. No, that's so that you can come under the authority of the house that you're in, right? So even if I go into a church to minister and I have, let's say I have a word of rebuke, or let's say I see that the church needs to be doing something that they're not doing, right? Let's say. I just can't blurt it out from the pulpit unless I have a conversation with the leaders in the church first. Pastor Dave, I really sense the Lord is dealing with us on this particular thing. Can I go ahead and share that? And if he says no, then I say, okay, yes, sir. And I hold it and I pray until the Lord releases it. Maybe not through me, but through somebody else. Does that make sense? So you want to be gentle and you want to be approachable and you don't want to be, you don't want to be rude or haughty like you know it all, because we don't know it all. Look at James, I don't know it all. No, we're still, look at James, I'm still learning. Yes, I'm learning every day. Every day I'm learning. Okay, so prophets should display a mild and meek spirit. Meekness is a spirit which has been schooled to mildness by discipline or suffering. You know, usually when I see someone that's really anointed, I look at them and I say to myself, they have been through some things to carry that precious anointing that they carry. You know, they've been through some stuff in their life. And they carry such a remarkable anointing of God, you know. So some of these things come through that. Okay. So Galatians 5, and I think it's 20 verses 22 through 24, talks about the fruits of the Spirit. So we should always resemble the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. So, and I'm talking about prophetic people. This could be for every ministry, but today it's just for us. So number 4, we need to be easy to be entreated. And this means individuals who are down to earth, practical, real people. People who are approachable, teachable, considerate, responsive to an earnest request with no airs that say I'm too holy or heavenly minded or approached by common saints. Such a holy prophet that I cannot be touched by others. Prophets are real people, and we must remember that Jesus was not unapproachable. His disciples tried to make him that way, but he was not that way. True prophets can destroy themselves if they allow their disciples to become too overly protective of them. So true prophets are not seclusive. So the spirit of the prophets and prophetic people should not be exclusive or seclusive or spooky spiritual. And I looked up these two words. So I wanted to see what they meant. So exclusive actually means you're one that's restricted. In other words, you hide yourself away. You're restricted. You can't talk to me. You limit yourself. Seclusive means it's a tendency to isolate oneself from social contacts or human relationships, you know. So a prophet needs to be, you need to have your time alone with the Lord, yes, but you need to make yourself available. Amen? Because you're part of the fivefold ministry. And so part of the fivefold ministry is to what? Is to help the church grow and mature to the full stature of Jesus Christ. And we're a long way from there. So prophets are going to be around for a long time, right? But we need to be approachable and allow people to come and talk to us. Amen? Okay. And so number 5, we need to be filled with mercy. The definition of mercy means refraining from harming or punishing offenders. It's kindness in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness. Going the second mile, forbearance and compassion. The spirit of wisdom is full of mercy. And James 2, verse 13 in the Passion Translation says it like this. And remember that judgment is merciless for the one who judges others without mercy. So by showing mercy, you take dominion over judgment. Say, that's me. Yes, that's me. Without it, the prophet can become hard, sneering, eager to prophesy judgment and destruction. And I've had to, in times past, I've had to talk with those in the prophetic ministry, because some would tend to want to put judgment on someone, try to tell someone what they need to do. And so I think that there's a way to talk to people. Like, we know what people need to do, right? We know we need to read the word. We know we need to pray. We know we need to fast. We know we need to do these things, right? But there's a way to talk to a person where you don't throw out condemnation to them. In other words, I need to pray more, Vicki. So if I'm teaching on prayer and I need to pray more, then this is what we need to do. This is not what you need to do. Does that make sense? So in the prophetic room, when we're ministering, we may see something. So I would ask you, if you see something in the prophetic room, that you would use that Oreo cookie effect where you don't throw condemnation. Because the worst thing is getting up from behind the pulpit or getting in prophecy and beginning to pronounce judgment, the person that you're talking to will feel condemned. And so we never want to produce condemnation. A prophet always, or a teacher, or an evangelist, apostolic anointing, we always want to minister seasoned with salt. We always want to minister with the graces of God. So if I have a message on the Word of God, and I say to you, you need to read your Bible, right? You're not doing it, man. You know, you need to be doing it. And then you feel condemned because you're thinking, well, wait a second, I'm reading my Bible. But the minister just said I wasn't reading it. Because if you were reading it, you'd be doing this, right? No. So it should be said like this. You know what we need to do? We need to corporately, together, get into the Word of God. And the more we get into the Word of God, the more signs and wonders are going to follow. Right? That makes sense? So in that statement, I didn't condemn you. Right? Although you know you need to read the Word. Right? So that wasn't condemning. And it's the same way in prophecy. So it's the same exact way. When you have a prophetic word for someone, you will see things because you're a seer, Sam, a seer. We see things. And sometimes we see things that aren't so pleasant that we see, you know. And so we only have a few little minutes to be with that person. So we want to speak life to that person. You know, I've found that I've been in the same spot that you're in. I've been there too. But I've found that, you know, that he's my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Psalm 23. I just would encourage you to read that. We'll read that together. And so I'm not condemning that person, but I'm working with that person because I'm not higher than them. I'm equal with them. That make sense? Okay. So that's how a prophet or teacher, evangelist, anybody called in ministry needs to be approaching people like that. Okay. So it's full of mercy. You're easy to be entreated. You're gentle. You're kind. You're peaceable. You're not ready to run and condemn someone. Okay. So we can take a look here. He gives an example of Jonah. You know, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He knew the people were evil there, and that prophet was having nothing to do with them, right? And we know what happened to Jonah, right? So that's extreme. But don't give the enemy time to come in to your life by being that way. If the Lord asks you to minister to somebody and asks you to go and do something and you feel like you can't do it or you don't want to go because of the people there, then we've already got a problem, right? So we need to go back to basics and we need to say, Lord, give me your heart. Give me your compassion. I'm not ready to go do that right now, God. I need your help because I need to be able to see like you see. And I don't want to go and do until I can see that way. And then I'll be ready. I'll be ready then. But I want to see as you see. Amen? So that's not stepping out of the boat. It's stepping back into the boat with Jesus and allowing Jesus to minister to you. Creating in you the person and the minister that God wants you to be. Okay. All right, so where am I here? So, and then we can talk about Samuel too. But Samuel did something different from what Jonah did. Samuel cried all night long to the Lord. And so that's really the first sign of the spirit of intercession was found in 1 Samuel. And so when you've got a problem with somebody or you've got a problem with the church or whatever area in your life you're at, you go take that to the Lord. Say with me, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord because maybe it's too big. What you see is maybe too big. And the Lord showed me a situation way back. And you're going to remember this, Mom. Way back years ago when I first got into the prophetic ministry. And I had a vision of something was going on inside of a pastor's home. Do you remember now? Okay. And so I had this vision. And the vision that I had was absolutely awful, what I saw. Well, I didn't know them that well. I was just starting out in the ministry. I had no idea what was going on. And so I didn't even know where to go, remember? I didn't know who to go to, who to talk to. I didn't know what to do because I'm just like in the 80s. I'm just brand new Christian, 1983, you know. And I'm seeing these things as I'm praying for people. And I didn't know, but this was something urgent. This was something that needed to be spoken. Something needed to be rectified immediately in the circumstance that I saw in my vision. And so I went to the leadership of the church and I told them. I said, this is what I saw. I don't know what you guys want to do with it, but this is what I saw. And so then, remarkably, I was invited to that house for dinner. How about that? Out of the clear blue sky, something invited me to the house for dinner. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, this is a Holy Ghost setup over here, you know. And so at that dinner table, I was able to share with them the vision that I had, but I didn't put their names in the vision. I just had showed them. They asked me how the Lord was using me, and I began to show them. And when I shared the vision that I had, the man broke down and started to weep and cry, and he said, that's me. So there's a time and there's a season, and God will open that door for you if you allow, if you sit and you wait, and restoration came to the home. That was the early days of me walking with the Lord. So whenever the Lord gives you something, one, it's to pray. Say, I'm an intercessor first. Because if you're prophetic, you're an intercessor. So, and you're a seer. So when God gives you something, you take it to the Lord and pray. And then if you don't know what to do with it, you take it to the leadership of your church. And you wait for the Lord to open that door for you or for them. It may not be for you. It may be for them. So take it to the Lord. But gentleness, meekness, kindness, peaceable, approachable. This is how prophetic ministry ought to be. And not just prophetic ministry, all of the fivefold ministry. Okay. So number six, we must be filled with good fruit. And the definition of good fruit is fruitful in ministry. It's not just in seed form, but mature enough that others want to eat and partake of it. Now that's important. So he says a fruitful ministry is not just in seed form, but the mature and others want to come and partake of that fruit. So when your fruit is producing and your harvest is full, other people are going to want to come and eat from your tree. Other people are going to want to come in and eat from what that minister has to say or what that healing team has to say. So people, when they hear Pastor Dave, how did you hear about our church? Oh, well, I heard Pastor Dave on YouTube. So they would hear him and they come because they want to partake of the fruit that they see coming out of the mouth of the pastor. Does that make sense? So we want others to see that fruit. They'll want to come and get what you got. Look at your neighbor and say, they're going to come get what I got. Yes. Okay. So a true prophetic minister must develop proven fruitful ministry if they want to be recognized and received. All right. So number seven, without partiality or hypocrisy. The definition without partiality or hypocrisy is this: those who are unbiased, impartial, without religious exclusivism. One who is not a respecter of persons. One who can deal and relate with others in all fairness. That's beautiful. Say, that's talking about me. Yes. Prophets must be real and genuine people without deception or any kind of pretense. You know, their manhood or womanhood should be equal to their ministry. Their personal life should be equal to their pulpit life. So how you see me here is how you should see me in my home. So look at your neighbor and say, how you see me here is how you should see me in my home. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's really important. It's really important. You know, I can't stress that because, you know, we're going to get into our next couple of lessons where we're going to be talking a little bit about the New Age and the differences between the prophetic ministry and the occult. And as ministers of the Lord, those who are being used in the prophetic ministry, we need the gift of discernment to know. We need, because false teachers are rising up all the time. False ministries are rising up all the time. And we can easily be deceived, right? But if we stay focused on Jesus and keep seeing him in other people, we're going to be on the right track. All right. So personality of true prophets. Prophets should have a greater desire for a reputation as a man or woman of God than for a name, this is your fill-in, than for a name as great prophetic ministry with signs and wonders. So in other words, prophets should not have a greater desire for reputation. So, you know, we learned in another lesson with Dr. Bill Hammond that God makes the man before he makes the ministry. So he makes the woman before he makes the ministry, right? Sometimes people can jump the gun and go into ministry way ahead of time, way before their time. And so they get up and they're hungry and they're anxious to teach and they want to do all these things, but sometimes they step in before their time and maturity needs to be developed. So before the ministry, God makes the man or the woman. So if you get a prophetic word, you know, remember we talked about timing, seasons and timings of the Lord and how God raises up someone to take on a mission. He gives them a plan and a destination. So if God gives you a word that you're going to go to Africa or you're going to go to India, then you're not going to go to Africa or India the next day, you know. So don't jump on an airplane and fly over there because you're going to be doomed if you do. You'll be crying, Lord, help me and get me back to America right now, right? So there's a process that we go through. There's a timing and a season that we go through. So And you've heard me say this before, that, you know, Ivan, and it was back in 2015, I believe he had come to our church back then, and I was sitting in this area at that time, and he had a word for me, and he said I was going to Africa. Well, I sat right here and thought to myself, I'm not going there, in my mind, right while he's prophesying to me. And then he starts telling me the other countries I'm going to and how I need these things, got to put stuff in my cart, you know, because I'm going. I'm not going to Africa. I'm not going over there. And so I was really bothered. I lost the whole prophecy. You know, I lost that I'm going to write books and curriculum's coming. I lost all of that. My focus was on Africa. I'm not going to Africa. You know, so my mother got in the car. I'm not going to Africa. Not going there. And so time went on. Say with me, time goes on. Time goes on. Seasons of God go on, right? And so, okay, I'm softening up now. Okay, Lord, I could maybe go to Africa. I could maybe go there. Okay. And I started listening to the prophecy, you know, and I wrote it out. Okay, I could maybe go there. I don't know what I would get over there, but I could maybe go there. Okay. And then one day I get a phone call, and it's from my former pastor, had ministered in a ministry called Power Ministries International out of Newark, New Jersey. And he said that Dr. George Vargas was going to be calling me and wanted me to come and speak at this convention they're having, training convention. And I thought, oh, okay. So I just waited for this man to call me, and he called me a couple days later, and we had a lovely conversation, and he invited me to come and speak on the prophetic ministry. So it's a training where 150 people came from all over the world. Guess where they came from? Africa. Africa. South Africa. Zimbabwe. all over Africa. But I didn't correlate it still. I still hadn't correlated it yet. And so they named it the prophetic hour. So my day was Tuesday. Tuesday was my day. And so Tuesday at 2 o'clock in New Jersey during that conference, I was speaking the prophetic hour. So funny, because I teach here on Tuesdays. Okay. So there I am. I get this my prophetic teaching together. They're going to give me a whole hour. And I'm going to teach them now how to develop the prophetic ministry in themselves and how to take it back to their churches and their countries. And so I was kind of unsure of myself. And so Pastor Dave had to call me and encourage me on the phone, because I was really unsure of myself, because I had bishops sitting there and I had all these people sitting there from all these nations, you know. And they're very educated people, because education to them is very important from other countries. And so here I was, little Kimberly. And that's how I thought to myself, little Kimberly's going to go over there and do this. And so I was kind of like insecure. And so there's still, God was still working on me, you know. Pastor Dave says, you knock it out of the park, he tells me, you know, texts me and tells me, knock it out of the park. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, that's fine. I'm part of River of Life Church. And so I'm going to knock the same anointing he has, I have. Thank you, Father. And so I started to build myself up that way. And so when I got from behind the pulpit to begin to minister, and everything was like thrown up on a PowerPoint presentation, and I got up there and I looked out, and then it hit me. I could hear Ivan in my ear. Then he said Africa was calling my name, and I thought, I'm not going to Africa. And I stood there and I looked out at the 150 people, and I would say 75 of them, at least 75, were from the country of from Africa. How about that? Different countries within Africa they were from. And I lost it. I just started to weep. And I started right there in front of everybody. And then I started teaching on the prophetic ministry. But there I was. So when you get a word from God, you got to be in your season to walk in that word. If I had gotten that word on that day and went the following week, I would have missed it. So there was some soil that needed to be cultivated. There were some weeds that needed to be pulled out, right? And I'm talking my soulish realm. Weeds needed to be pulled out, and the timing of God needed to arrive. So when the timing of God came and I had done the work, the weeds were being pulled out, the door was then open. See how that works? So when God gives you a word, it's not for immediately. There's a process. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a process. And I don't know why I shared that. Why was I sharing that? Okay. Okay, so B, true prophetic ministry will not try to simply impress people, but should cause people to fall in love with Jesus. Right? So it doesn't matter what ministry, and we're talking about prophets right now, but I'm talking about every ministry. So every ministry, we're not to impress people. We should cause people to fall in love with Jesus more. You know, when someone comes and gives me a compliment, I say, I just love Jesus. And so I say, thank you, Jesus, because it's all about him and it's nothing about me. I am just so in love with him. When I get up before I minister, I say, come on, Jesus, we're going to have a good time. And sometimes he'll say that to me. Let's go and encourage them together, Kimberly. And then you'll catch me laughing because I know he's being encouraged. I'm being encouraged and you're being encouraged, right? So it's a party with Jesus. We don't do anything without him. When we come to teach, when we prophesy, we pray for others, Jesus is with us. He's right at our side, and we need to cause people to fall in love with him. Amen. If you want somebody to do something, get them to fall in love with Jesus. All right. So C, faith which works by love. So Jesus spoke stern words to the religious hypocrites and taught strong, hard truths to his followers. But everything he did was motivated by love, tough love, the agape love. As a prophet, the message may be hard, but the prophet must not be harsh. And I'm going to just say, when Isabel came and she taught the first night on forgiveness, how many got convicted on that message? Okay. So she's a prophet, but she brought it in such a way that it was like easy to attain, right? And she'd say, And so, you know, we need to do this. You know, and it's 7 times 70. We need to do it 7 times 70. So we all need to do this, you know. And she kept iterating, not you, but all of us corporately need to do this, right? And then she shared a powerful testimony how it took her 4 years to walk that out, 7 times 70. How many's been doing that since she's been gone with someone? Yeah, so she was a prophet that came in, and she had a hard word to give. But she did it with such grace and such that we all received it. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. So as a prophet, the message may be hard, but the prophet must not be harsh. The prophetic word may be corrective and rebuking. And so that was when she came to us, when she started talking about prayer, right? So for some, maybe we've not been praying like we should have been praying, right? And so we could have taken that as a rebuke, but it didn't feel like a rebuke, right? Okay. So, and that's a true prophet. That's a sign of a true prophet. But this does not give the prophet a right to be critical or repulsive in his or her presentation. So that's why I'm going to go back a few steps. So we didn't hear her say, River of Life, you're not doing this. And that's why God's not giving you a building. Right? No. She just said, people, we got to pray. God is calling us in this hour to pray. We together have to pray. Right. She didn't say, because you walk in the spirit of unforgiveness, God's not going to heal your children. She didn't say that. Right. She said, so we need to forgive 7 times 70. Right. So you saw how she brought that. She didn't bring that being critical. She brought that as being encouraging, life giving. Right. Something that we could hold on to and run with. Right. No one felt condemned when they walked away. You felt encouraged and wanted to go out the door and forgive that person you were holding aught against. Right. So that's the example that we want in the prophetic ministry, just like that. And I'm going to close with this statement here, I believe. So concluding alterated statements, and I love this. This should be on everybody's refrigerator. Wisdom without love is worthless. Revelation without wisdom is radical. Ministry without mercy is madness. Understanding without love is useless. Spiritually, without love is a sham. Spirituality without love is a sham. Prophetic ministry without love is profitless. Prophetic song without love is non-productive. Faith without love is fruitless. Sacrifice without love is senseless. National recognition without love is nothing rewarded. Success without Christ's love and wisdom is spurious. So I would just say to you that when you're walking in the Lord, the true spirit of a prophet is peaceful, is gentle, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality. There's no hypocrisy. Easy to be entreated. You're easily to be approached. You're gentle. You speak as a gentle man or a gentle woman. And you're pure in heart. You want what's best for the body of Christ. And so you don't want any ought or anything to come against what God is doing on your part. Amen. So I just want you, there's principles for evaluating the prophetic ministry, and these are called, this is in your workbook too, the 10 M's of prophetic ministry. Is that in there? Let me go look. Okay, so you can actually read these in one of Dr. Hammond's books, Prophets and Pitfalls. I think it's in that book. That's a separate teaching. But these are pretty powerful. So in your time, this next month or so, I would just encourage you to just read these. It is in the Prophets and Pitfalls book. But it talks about manhood, the ministry, the message, maturity, marriage, methods and manners, money, morality, and motive. He calls them the 10 M's of the prophetic ministry. So I would just encourage you to read those and just to meditate on them. God is building up a church in this hour, one that's pure, one that's holy, one that's out, that's spotless, one that's ready to be easily entreated. You know, I saw this movie. I went to the movie theater with my mom, and we saw, who's seen Jesus, the Jesus movie? Jesus Revolution. Oh, yeah. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah, that was anointed. And so, I don't know where you were back in the 70s. I was a little girl. I didn't get Jesus until I was 1983. But back in those days, it's when, you know, we had the Hagen of the worlds come up. The Kenneth Copeland came out during that time. And back during that time, a lot of those, that hippie era, you know, a lot of those are teaching in our academia right now. And so they had a different kind of belief system. And that belief system is rolled over into our academia today. There was a great movement. Many Christians came, and a great outcrying of the Holy Spirit came, and many were saved. And it really put us into the charismatic movement in the 80s and early 90s and brought us into the Father's love. And powerful things have come out of that. And now we're seeing God again pouring out his Spirit on our young people again, you know. And we've got a lot of, you know, we used to think the hippies looked crazy back then, but we've got a lot of crazy-looking people right now. Okay, so... So we need to ask, you know, I asked the Lord for this particular person. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help, show me how to love this person, you know. And I thought about that, and I thought about the pastor in the movie, you know, which was based on a true story. I believe he probably prayed that prayer. He probably said, Lord, how do I love these people? Because they're so different from me, you know. How do I love them? And I think that today we need to be asking the Lord, how do we love the world that we live in? How do we love those that persecute us? How do we love those that speak evil against us? How do we love those who want to close the church down? How do we love them, God? How do we love those ones who, you know, want to take us in a different direction for our nation? How do we love them? Help us, Lord. Let me see you in the world that I live in the culture that I live in. So I believe we're in that day. And like I've told you before, like a broken record, prophecy is key to the movement of God right now in this hour. Prophecy, the gift of wisdom, the word of knowledge is key. It's key that we hear God. We need to hear what God is saying and then have the boldness to be able to speak what God wants us to speak. So this is a place where we can learn and grow together, but God wants to use your mouth like a locomotive when you get outside this house. So when you get outside into the marketplace, God wants you to open your mouth and begin to speak life-giving words to someone who needs to have those life-giving words. So I went to this store with my son. What store was it? It was DXL store. It's like for the big guys store. It's over here, close to the church. Okay. I'd never been there before. And so I went there with him on Saturday morning. And this lovely lady was helping my son. And she had said something. And I was waiting for my son, who's trying on this outfit. He always going to a wedding and he needed an outfit. So there we were. And so he was looking and he was in the dressing room and I'm waiting outside. And she thought he was my husband. I said, no, it's my son. And so then we got talking about children. And so, yeah, I said, yeah, I have my son really young. And then she started talking about her daughter. She just opened the floodgates open and started talking about her daughter. And the next thing you know, I'm telling her about Jesus. And so she's agreeing with me. She goes to church. And so she said, my daughter's just so wayward. So there I was. And I said, but wait a second. I said, the Bible says that your children are blessed and they'll inherit the earth. I said, so I don't know where your daughter's at, but I stand with you right now and agree that she's blessed and she'll inherit this earth. I said, God's no respecter of persons. What you taught her when she was young, when she grows old, she won't depart from it. I said, I believe that, and I stand with you on that. She's, oh, yeah, that's right. And I said, so you got to stand with me right now and agree for your daughter. So we agreed right there for her daughter. So I look forward to my next time going back into DXL and having a conversation with her on how her daughter's doing. So we need to be in season and out of season, ready to open our mouth and be that locomotive that God wants us to be as the prophetic ministry. Peaceful, gentle, full of good report, bearing much fruit for the kingdom, being approachable, allowing people to come to you and speak to you, not being way elevated up, not condemning, but causing the body of Christ to fall in love with Jesus. Amen? Okay. God bless you. We're done early, but we're going to do something else. So stand up with me. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to do something else. Okay.